Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But it would be remiss of me not to speak to one of the biggest AEW fans in the office off the back of Revolution. We are going to talk, obviously, in more detail in a separate podcast later on this week about it. But very briefly, Sig, your thoughts on last night?
My God, I'm looking at the timer now. It's, as we record, it's 3:15. Right, I'll try. At 20 past, I'll just stop talking if I've not already, okay? WWE fans, you don't care, just skip past. But there is I've got a reasonable following on Twitter. They probably want to hear this from 21 minutes from now.
Okay, 5 minute timer starting now.
The feeling I got with that absolute whiff of an explosion, and if nothing else, it proves that it's, people are emotionally invested in this and they wanted to bargain for it. I couldn't. It was just objectively rubbish, that final explosion. Felt like conceding a last minute winner. Like the same sporting feel, like of, oh, gutted, like absolutely gutted. And I would have genuinely laughed at it because it was a comical if the match wasn't incredible and it wasn't such an almost profound shame that it's been overshadowed, because that match was unbelievable. Like, what I loved about it, particularly since they went so hard on the barbed wire, on the chairs and on the bat, is that they did the thing at the start where you go into the ropes very, very quickly and then draw back to like sell, can't go into those, which informs the power of the eventual explosions. But when they did that thing with Moxley's eye right next to the
side, oh my God.
It's like, it's so good that they didn't just go, oh, you'll explode. It's like, no, you didn't get cut up. I thought they doubled it up perfectly. So the establishing was great. The anticipation was great. I love the fact that instead of doing the flailing arms and the stagger back, like the old Terry Funk, that was great, but that's Funk's bit. Mm-hmm. And they changed that by blinding him, and he couldn't see where he was going. So, all right, boom, and you go. Great. I love the subversion of that exact anticipation trope when, after doing the figure four kick out, he then, John Rude, drop kicked him. Mm. It was all so great. It was all so great. Everyone's already talked about how awesome the one-winged angel foot on the ropes deal was.
Oh my God, that was genius.
But not only was that specific bit genius, but I've said that my specific problem with the genre, as awesome as it is, fun to watch, is that the matches by definition can't peak like a normal match because explosions are cooler than moves. In this context, is that the one-winged angel is such a powerful move that it always feels, when it gets built towards or like reversed out of, like as big as an explosion. I just don't think they could have worked the perfect stip version of the stip, and they did, and then they ruined it. Eddie Kingston's got a job on his hands on Wednesday, and mercifully, if anyone can do him. Elsewhere, I wasn't that... It was a really good pay-per-view, and I was expecting an absolutely amazing one. I think the hype was so good in the past 2 or 3 weeks that it obscured the card, and every nagging, gnawing feeling I had on the card kind of came true. That ladder match, the participants in it were all wrong. It was a spotty version of a spot first match, and the spots weren't that great beyond the Canadian destroyer, which is awesome. Overlong, disjointed, didn't build. It wasn't exhilarating enough to justify those horrific bumps at times that took too long to arrive at. I was just actively screaming, go home. The cinematic street fight, even though it wasn't the aesthetic I had in mind, it was so well done. I wish it didn't do any music on it. And there was one shot where it transitioned from in the ring with Sting and Darby and went whoosh, like a zoom drone. I just wish the big shame about that match is that there was so much palpable, chaotic, live energy on those Dynamites that for them to subvert it, well, not subvert it, but then to just do the cinematic match felt like, oh, it's a shame the angles were so good because I was prepared for that match. I was prepared for a better, different, live-feeling match with those angles. So it just felt like a weird, I don't know, I think I'll watch it again because I think it was an excellent on its own terms, but I was expecting like a live, chaotic energy.
I can't get over the fact that in a match where I watched Darby Allin jump off a floor above, through Brian Cage, through this platform, down another couple of stories, the thing I've talked about the most from that match is Sting doing a sunset flip pin. I was like, where's this come from?
They edited that perfectly, but that's what it's there for. I just wish they'd just filmed it in a crafty way rather than went overtly cinematic. As I said, that zoom shot took me out of it. Then I shouldn't have, because it was through a cinematic lens. I'm going to watch that one again. I think I really liked it. But again, I was just, my expectations were changed by the live energy of those angles I built to it in the last couple of weeks. Very quickly. So that's the three like stipulation matches covered. MJF and Chris Jericho versus Young Bucks was marvelous. Tremendous. I went like 4.5 on that. 4 and 3 on the barbed wire. I went 4.5 on the tag match just because the dynamic of heel versus face, like the Bucks rarely play it that overt. And that fun, like just MJF getting concussed into a slimy mouthed mess. That's the payoff for being a heel arsehole. Fantastic storytelling, really good. And they precision calibrated the amount of near falls that work in a match in that opener. I just thought the Young Bucks are fantastic. MJF's fantastic. Chris Jericho's fantastic. The women's match was really hard hitting. They went 2 minutes too long, unfortunately. I was getting a little bit like, come on, go home with these near falls. I stopped buying on them at the end, which is like counterproductive. Why Miro and Sabian versus Cassidy and Chuck Taylor? 6 months to build to an 8-minute sub Dynamite match. Absolutely unacceptable. Realistically, I would have complained more if it was 15 minutes, which just says so much of the storyline that I just would have been actively annoyed with whatever I got. Paige and Hardy worked really hard. And whenever you say they worked really hard, what you really mean is that's a euphemism for, oh, it was a bit long and I couldn't have cared less. But like Matt Hardy, like he deserves all the respect. And that's another word you don't really want to use when you're analyzing pro wrestling. The Battle Royale, the last 5 minutes were absolutely spellbinding, frenzied, unbelievably worked. They created two dream matches, and that wasn't even the match that it built towards, which is an even bigger dream match. Have I missed anything on the main card?
Christian, that's the only thing.
The over-delivered. If Paul White had said, oh, if you watch on Revolution, might have got a scoop. Someone might be turning up. People would have went, oh, maybe Lesnar or Punk, but you wouldn't have really believed it. But the over-delivered, the overhyped, under-delivered, that's a prevailing take, and it's one that I can't disagree with. Ultimately, I was probably expecting more from that pay-per-view. And just to transition onto the actual topic of this podcast, I'm expecting nothing from the show tonight.
Yeah, if you want to know more thoughts on last night's pay-per-view, myself and Hamlet did a whole review, which you can go and listen to right now. But let's talk about Monday Night Raw, which we've got to look forward to tonight. WWE Champion Bobby Lashley's almighty championship celebration. They got there in the end last week. They've made the right call, in everyone's opinion. What is next for him, and how soon do you see them potentially setting up Drew McIntyre, one would assume?
Well, this is strange. I'm trying to work out the schedule and who else other than The Miz he could face at Fastlane. There's a few options that can take here. Unfortunately, The Miz is going to be a heavy presence on Raw tonight when, after last week, I never really want to see him again. He's going to cry foul about how he wasn't medically cleared. Are they going to do some kind of hijinks that is going to repel me? I just know it. Can they do Lashley versus Drew McIntyre at Fastlane and then step it up at WrestleMania? Potentially. But they do so many stipulations that I don't think... I think the money here is in preserving that match, particularly since they already did it in 2020. It was good and it was fun, but it wasn't, oh, that's got to be next year's Mania main event. Like, it wasn't out like that. So for me, they need to, on Raw tonight, map a short-term direction for Lashley that doesn't involve The Miz. And I think to get a taster of the kind I want, and to lean on the continuity of the story you've been telling, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, it would be nice if they kept them aligned just for people to have mates in WWE, for the babyfaces to feel like relatable people with actual relationships that they have. So on that note, I would do some kind of, well, I wouldn't do this, but I think they'll do some kind of mirror image bollocks of the bollocks of last week when Miz keeps trying to convince authority figures to get his rematch, and he get at the end and he get another squash, and that just ties a bow on that, and he can do some stuff with Bad Bunny that I don't care about either. I would do, they love the whole Rocky IV thing. They did it in NXT last year. I think they'll do it this time, wherein at Fastlane, Sheamus, in wins and losses don't matter, so it doesn't matter that he lost to Drew McIntyre. Sheamus can win some kind of contendership match, face Bobby Lashley at Fastlane, get murdered, and he'll take the beating as well. That's what's good about Sheamus. He will absolutely take the beating, get murdered, and that's your way into Drew versus Lashley. Titles his, lost it nefarious means, he deserves the chance, and he's going to fight on behalf of his friend, and then he can do some kind of big schmoz at Mania itself. I'm just freewheeling here, because guess what? There's nothing on the preview for Raw itself officially. That they've advertised nothing, so you have to listen to me just talk some. And then the business can come and help Lashley, which will get Drew over more, because it's not as if Drew Lashley's ever needed help before. Sheamus comes out, restores the odds, Claymore, Drew and Sheamus celebrate at Mania, and it's a nice little story.
It'd be interesting to see what they do, because we're what, just under, I think, 5 weeks away from WrestleMania. Fastlane, you know, is a stop, but certainly not a necessary one. Unless you press the button on the bus driver will not be stopping at Fastlane, basically. You know, and they've also already got seemingly their main event for Fastlane, or at least their flagship thing. I mean, it's just a dry run for Peacock. That's what it is. We all know this by now. But they've got Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. So there's that to sort of hang the show on. So I don't know. There's a bit of me. I mean, I'm not asked about seeing it, but it would be quite cathartic to have a number one contenders match. We're like, you know what, Miz? You know, maybe you should have one more shot at the title. All you have to do is beat this guy, Drew McIntyre. And it's just like, well, yeah, obviously Drew beats him in like 5 minutes and establishes, yeah, when it's a fair fight, you ain't got a chance. And then Bad Bunny takes the piss out of Miz. And then, that, I don't know, that could set up something as we head towards WrestleMania for him. Also interesting to see how they handle Lashley. I mean, they incredibly blinkered a lot of the time, WWE, where they go, like, they, Charlotte's a face. No, she's really not. We're none of us really like her. She's a face, everyone. Everyone loves her. Shane McMahon's back, everyone. Hey, cheer boy up, cheer up, cheer up. Everyone really hates Shane. Well, certainly I do anyway. But they have no idea. But it'd be interesting to see whether they not they look at the way Lashley was received. I know, in theory, he's got MVP as a manager. He's got a stable around him. He just murdered people. But he didn't come across as a heel per se. Yes, he murdered The Miz and then murdered him again after the bell and what have you. But, I mean, it's a joyous occasion to have. I mean, everyone's been really happy to see Bobby Lashley's WWE champion. So it'll be interesting whether they pivot how he plays it. But I sense, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But this is the company who we found out last week. We're just like, Well, if only Lacey Evans hadn't got pregnant, then we could have done the plan switch of making her the world champion as we head to WrestleMania. It's like, sorry, did you not watch your own TV? So I sense they will probably just be like, Bobby Lashley's a bad guy. Drew McIntyre's a good guy. And that's what we got at WrestleMania. But interesting to see whether or not they take that into account, Sidge.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all, when you stand back and appraise it all from a distance, it's all so rubbish. The idea is that Miz is such a little tosser and he's so undeserving of the title that by default, you babyface Bobby Lashley, who's impossible not to cheer for, by the way. I'm a Bobby Lashley guy in this year of our Lord 2021. So it's he's just this big, incredibly beefy looking Coliseum video wrecking machine, except he's more legitimate and he can go harder than half the old muscle heads in the, back in the day. He's going to appeal to the WWE fan, is Bobby Lashley. He's been conditioned over years to think, oh, it's absolute muscle-bound giant is killing people. It's awesome. It's just we were born and bred for this kind of babyface, except it's going up against a babyface, one presumes, in Drew McIntyre. So God knows. On that note, they'll probably have to do something to heat up Bobby Lashley tonight, but the idea is you don't really want to give away because... Again, I can't predict how they book. Their mentality is rotten. I'm trying to apply sense to soup in terms of Vince McMahon's brain. So realistically, here's what I would do. They did the match last year in 2020, which is not how WWE tends to book their WrestleMania main events. They are, for whatever completely deserved criticism you want to throw at this promotion, they do come WrestleMania try and present fresh matches that they've not exhausted. I'll give them that. It's objective proof, objective fact. They didn't do that, however, and it still doesn't really feel like a WrestleMania main event. There's no real buzz to it. How big are the stars? Or are they just like cogs in a content factory? Whatever. I like them both, but they're not major league stars, in my opinion. The idea for me, whether they apply this or share it or what, preserve the living hell out of this dynamic. You somehow being unbelievably incompetent, you've managed in two separate developments to create a fairly popular babyface in Drew McIntyre and a dominant mega heel in Bobby Lashley. Simply map a coherent path that isn't littered with brawls and boring tropes or like the match to build a match. I would add a real sporting flavor to this. Mm-hmm. Who can bench the most? Who's the strongest? Who weighs the most? Who trains the hardest? Like, give a candid, topless, glistening gym footage. Present to me the idea that these hunks are just ripped, legitimate, powerful specimens and put them on a collision course because they're having the match. I don't know what to do with Fastlane. Just don't do a Fastlane. It's such an inconvenience at this point. I would go with real sport and flavor. Something akin to the Rock and Brock program of 2002. Or, you know, the Bret Shawn WrestleMania 12, except don't make one of them look like a dickhead. Just try not to fall over some ice in Canada because the idea was to try to bury him slightly to do the transition. Like the super athletes... They were massive blokes. Just let me luxuriate in the muscles and not get annoyed by the terrible writing. Is that so hard?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's talk about Asuka, the Raw Women's Champion. She's obviously been absent since since Shayna Baszler kicked one of her teeth out. Worrying reports I saw over the weekend suggesting that she might be concussed. That was she might be off telly or whatever. Hopefully that isn't the case. Hopefully she'll return tonight. And like I said, I genuinely had my jaw on the floor for a couple of reasons over the last few days, Sid. The fact that they went, yep, we're going to do Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks for the tag titles again. Oh, sorry? Yep, that's happening at Fastlane.
You're missing out on the fundamental drama, and it's so compelling. Can they coexist? Do you want them to coexist? Or do you want them to hate each other before they have a fight?
I don't know.
It's just absolute crap content Rolodex. They don't give a They don't care. They don't care. They've got their ideas. They've got their manual. Can they coexist trope? Probably not. What's Reginald doing in the storyline?
Honestly, I like...
SmackDown was good.
The same guy with amnesia who's like, we should have Adam Cole there telling the Undisputed Era. Jeff, that happened last week, mate. I don't remember that. So... Tag match for the women's tag titles. We literally did that the last pay-per-view. Don't remember it. No, do it again. No one will remember that. It was a month ago. But like I say, it was the double whammy of that and the reports coming out, as we all feared, as we all speculated, that they genuinely thought, putting the title on Lacey Evans before WrestleMania is going to make Charlotte Flair get a pretty big babyface reaction when she wins that title. And I'm like, are you mental? Like, Asuka has done so much. I mean, I don't need to preach to you about what Asuka's done for this Raw Women's Championship, carrying that torch since Becky Lynch obviously left to have a baby. And they're just like, yeah, take it off her. I genuinely don't think they would have had a match for Asuka at WrestleMania had that happened. And they're like, I suppose we'll have to put her on the card. And now, presumably, if Asuka does return tonight, I'd love to know if you think she will, it's going to be her and Charlotte, maybe with Rhea Ripley in the mix?
None of it's inspiring at all. I don't trust WWE's main roster, which increasingly feels like a pointless differentiator, in my opinion. I don't trust them to adequately handle good NXT material, and Charlotte Rhea Ripley stuff is absolute bobbins, total bobbins. So they'll have a job making me care about Rhea Ripley. And Charlotte Flair versus Asuka, where before her return last year, I'd be thinking, I mean, yeah, it's uninspiring, but I'll take it because the match will be great. I'm getting terrible, apathetic vibes from Charlotte Flair. She feels like above it all in a way that permeates her work. I just don't care about any of it.
Just the fact
that... Do not physically care about any of it.
I realised they only ever seemingly perceive Charlotte Flair as a baby face. And to any outside observers, it's quite obvious that certainly in this match, she should be the heel between her and Asuka. And it's dead simple. You can do the same storyline here that you can do if you want to do in the future with Rhea Ripley of, remember when I destroyed your dream at WrestleMania? Remember that? Like, fans all remember it was what? 3 years ago or whatever it was, like, and it was use that heat that was clearly there at the time of like, why has Charlotte broken the streak so early on for Asuka on the main roster? And it's just like, they're going to have her come in and be like, Well, I never intended for this to happen. I just came back to help my good friend Asuka, but I suppose, seeing as there's no one else left, or it's that or sodding Nia Jax at WrestleMania. Oh, go on, then. You've twisted my arm. I'll have a match. And it is astonishing to me. I mean, I'm desperate for Rhea Ripley to come and, you know, salvage elements of this Raw women's division. You know, the talent is there. The booking just isn't. But I'm worried that she's just going to go in the same worrying direction, or just get, you know, buried, not buried, but beaten by Charlotte Flair, because that's all they see.
Yeah. And then you probably get another Charlotte Flair reign that's cut short because the fancy pushing someone. Now, these inexplicable post-WrestleMania pushes. I remember when Carmella beat Charlotte Flair after Charlotte Flair ended Asuka's streak. Jesus Christ. You know what? I care so little about Raw that I've got an idea for an article, so I'm just going to write it down in my drafts. Do you want to talk for a little bit?
I'm going to try and guess 10 things I'd rather be doing than watching Monday Night Raw. And then we can plug the 5-star review. If you want to share something short, crap, and wrestling related from me and the Dadley Boys to watch instead of an awful segment on Monday Night Raw, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling and let us know on that review you leave us what you'd like us to watch. Instead, we hit 100 last week, and here's to 100 more. Yeah, baffling. I'm going to move on because I want to talk about something that I am two things I am genuinely looking forward to. Two things that I feel even the Dadley Boys are morbidly fascinated by tonight. And that is one of the few things I've actually advertised for tonight. Michael Sidgwick, I'm just going to ask you the question that WWE themselves have pitched. Will Shane McMahon apologize to Braun Strowman?
I mean, I don't know if it's just... So, Twitter probably isn't a fair reflection of the wrestling fan experience, right? Mm-hmm. Less people than you think have the app downloaded on their phones. And then that's further... the perception of the wrestling fan is further muddied by who you follow and the algorithms that are then formulated from your follows, and then you recommend it and who you see to the... I suspect that I follow people who are more disenchanted with WWE than the listeners might follow, for example.
Yeah.
Considering this is a WrestleMania storyline involving a McMahon, I haven't seen any burials of this even. Like, it's not so actively bad that, because the people that I follow, and I do try and keep an even mix, but the people that I follow are either, like, you know, full of praise for Bobby Lashley's title win, even though I thought the means didn't justify the end or whatever. And, you know, they're like laughing at The Fiend because he's objectively, unanimously, universally terrible. Mm-hmm. I see nothing about this. It's cold. It's dead. It's weird. It makes everyone involved look like an idiot. Shane McMahon is so insipid with his promo delivery that I can't believe that he's into this at all. He just thinks, right. Are there going to be people there? Yeah. Are they going to cheer for me when I do my thing? Yeah. Thunderdome's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it is, pal. But, you know, we're still making money. Yeah. Go out there and do something with Braun, will you? Yeah, okay. What do I say? The idea is that he's a monster and he's an idiot. Just call him an idiot. This program makes me sad.
I ranted a lot on this last week. I literally sat down with Hamflet and he was like, oh, what do you want to talk about for today's Get the Table? And, you know, the process behind these sorts of things is, you know, me and one of the Dadleys will go back and forth and suggest some topics or look about what's trending or, you know, that sort of thing. I went, I need to get some stuff off my chest about Shane McMahon. So we did a podcast called The Problem with Shane McMahon, which is well worth checking out because it just infuriates me. And I know it's, you know, it's completely pointless trying to fight it, dread it, run from it. Shane McMahon at WrestleMania will be happening. But it's gone from it being, well, what's, you know, who's The Undertaker's opponent? Who's Triple H's opponent? To who's Shane McMahon's opponent? Like, who gets the opportunity to tangle with the buses? Just piss off. He's just come back he's, like you say, he's, I mean, he is an idiot because he doesn't understand what the last but by no means least means. But still, he's still an incredible hoss of a performer when he wants to be. And yet he just, he's, you know, Shane McMahon's going to go with the Strowman Express. It's just, and he's not going to apologise. Or if he does apologise tonight, he's going to backhandedly apologise. And what I want is a chicken Shane McMahon. Which way did he go? Which way did he go? And Braun Strowman going, I'm going to tear your head off at WrestleMania. But we're not going to get that because, as I've said, they press cheer.wav instead of boo.wav when Shane McMahon comes out now. So I guess he's going to be our hero at WrestleMania. What?
I just don't know what this is. I don't care about what this is. I'm watching Shane McMahon's delivery, right? And I don't get what he's even doing here.
No, exactly.
The worst thing about Shane McMahon historically is that he's an egotistical little jumped up entitled billionaire's kid tosser who incidentally insisted once upon a time of performing his own motion capture for the video games just in case no one else could capture his specific genius. He spent more time really pretending to be a wrestler than he ever has been a wrestler. But if you can say nothing else about Shane McMahon, you could say, I tries hard and he wants to get over, which sometimes manifests in some like demented stuff. And when he's on the microphone, he'll at least like appeal to the crowd for a reaction and suck up to them or be quite good at being the arsehole that he is in real life. With no crowd there, Shane McMahon is just this weird middle-aged man who doesn't care and feels like his dad feels like he has to be there. It's the oddest stuff. There's no fire, energy, interest, premise. I've never seen anything so weird on WWE television involving a man, and that includes everything else that you could expect from that man to be in that conversation for.
To use a phrase of yours, think of the ground that covers.
Yeah, I know. And it's the weirdest stuff. I just kind of get over how lifeless it is.
Mm. Well, speaking of, I tell you what, look at this for a seg, everyone. Any aspiring presenters, note this down. Speaking of weird and lifeless, The Fiend. Right, let's talk about what's going on with him and Randy Orton. What horrors await Randy Orton this week, Michael Sidgwick? I'm back into this again now.
I'm into it. Not on a level that they want me to be.
Oh, no.
But like, when I'm watching Raw, right, literally the only enjoyment I can extract from it on a week-to-week basis is, I get some tweets if I do a good joke on the back of this terrible material. So I'm just waiting for The Fiend. Waiting. Hated breathless moron. Satanism adjacent hack horror movie crap. And what rubbish is he going to do this week that I can make fun of? He has made himself a doppelganger or a tulpa of Randy Orton. They have pre-tapes at their leisure these days. I mean, they always have, but they feel the need to use them now because Bray Wyatt's a hack. This incantation ceremony hasn't been to bring The Fiend back from the dead, but to make a Randy Orton clone. We're going to get Randy Orton clone stuff, and it's going to be fantastic. And the best thing is that these baby faces on the show are so idiotic, right? And these people generally are so stupid on this television program that maybe, just maybe, evil Randy Orton will go undetected by a certain baby face. Maybe Randy Orton can play evil Randy Orton in the ring or in a tag team. I want to see doppelganger Randy Orton, clone Orton, interact with other roster members. That's my Christmas wish.
Stoner Riddle just not realizing he's done it. Next to Randy Orton, but his eyes are black.
Hey, dude. How's it going, bro? How's it going, bro? Okay, bro. You ever heard of that one, bro? And then, like, Randy Orton, evil Randy can just, like, kill him or something.
Or it's real Randy, right? And he's just walking about looking a bit grumpy or whatever. And then I'm just, I mean, it's the, you know, it's not my fault. It's their presentation of a stoner. Riddle's like, whoa, bro. I'm seeing double. And doppelganger Randy Orton's stood behind him and Randy Orton doesn't, I don't know, but I'm here for it. I'm excited for doppelganger Randy. And I think, I'm trying to think more like horror movie cliches. And you know, they always do like creepy babies sometimes in
Alexa Bliss?
Horror movies. Well, that's what I'm thinking. This time Alexa Bliss is going to be cradling a baby, but it's got the Fiend's face.
Oh, God, I love it.
This is
Randy, can you remember years ago when you came in my bag? Well, this is what you made.
And it's like little baby Orton or something with black eyes.
I don't know why. I mean, you're just in a room, there's a little crib. Bliss goes in, puts the dummy in, and Randy comes in, spits the dummy out, blood me in. Like, that's yes. Honestly, genuinely looking forward to Monday Night Raw off the back of this. This is what I love. This is why I love doing this, because what I don't even advertise in, it's crap. But what we can make from it, I mean, that's a polished turd if I ever did see one. Let us know your thoughts ahead of
Monday. Got there in the end of some patter. Jesus Christ. Got there in the end.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including our review of the show tomorrow. And whilst you are subscribing, leave us a 5-star review, suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related so we can skip another 15-minute Damian Priest Elias match potentially this week. Let's be honest. Right, this has been the Raw preview.
Oh, God, I'm back to hating it again.
Thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.